Let me look for a few moments at Psalm 46. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Perhaps many of us know that very often the Psalms are sort of grouped together, and I believe there's a grouping together that we have here in these Psalms. In the 44th Psalm, if we were to take time to read it, we would see how the psalmist was greatly troubled. Notice the 24th verse of the 44th Psalm. Wherefore hidest thou thy face and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Arise for our help, redeem us for thy mercy's sake. And if we were to read the whole psalm, we would see how it brings the note of discouragement, looking around, seeing everything seemingly in ruins, breaking down. And then when we read the 45th psalm, it's an entirely different note here. Notice how it begins. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. What a change of note we find in this 45th psalm. Instead of looking down and counting the sorrows and difficulties and troubles, he's looking and thinking of that blessed one, the one who can fill every one of our hearts to overflowing, the one who is altogether lovely, the one who is going to bring us too into association with himself in a coming day. And so as you read on in this 45th Psalm, we actually have a wedding picture brought before us there. Notice the ninth verse. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. And then the 12th verse. And the daughter of Tyre is there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall inherit thy favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. What a different scene we find here in this 45th psalm. And dear brethren, that's the scene that's ahead of us. We know that here it's no doubt talking about the earthly blessing that is going to come to the nation of Israel. But we can apply it in a practical way to ourselves. Isn't it a wonderful thing that we're going to hear those words? The marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. What a glorious future there is ahead of us. And so we see, as I say, there's no change in circumstances. The 44th Psalm still is true. There are many things that bow us down, who cause us to put our faces into the dust, but also we can look up. There is a glorious future that is ahead of us, and that's what we need to do. We need to look on, because it's all glorious ahead. What a wonderful time it will be if the Lord were to come at this moment. Why, to see all the redeemed around the Lord Jesus singing his praises, and then that marriage of the Lamb to take place. How glorious that will be. But there's something very special about this 46th Psalm. If you notice the heading at the beginning of it, it says, "To the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth." Some of the early writers tell us that this little expression, "a song upon Alamoth," really means soprano voices. And many of these early writers believed that this was the women singers in the temple, and that they were singing this song. And I think this is very beautiful. It's the only one of the 150 that has this heading, "A Song Upon Alamoth." And it just shows us, and I speak to those who are sisters here, the influence that they can have. Here we see a discouraged situation in the 44th Psalm. We see the heart lifted above that situation in the 45th Psalm, and a scene of glory brought before us. And then, as it were, a return to circumstances. Seeing everything as it is, here is this chorus of, shall I say, female voices coming back and saying, "God is our refuge and strength." And if you trace through the Bible, you'll see how very often we find such situations. Israel were in a very low state in the time of the judges, and God used a woman, Deborah. She didn't take the place of a leader, but she stirred up Barak, and Barak went out, and there was a wonderful victory that was won, but she was the one who stirred him up. He was just sitting there, not paying, shall I say, too much attention to the condition in which God's people were, but she stirred up his heart. We find, too, in the case of Sarah, we find, too, that she gave very good advice to Abram on one occasion, something that the Spirit of God takes up in the Epistle to the Galatians, and she says, "Cast out the bondwoman with her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman." And so she gave good advice, and God said to Abraham, "Hearken unto the voice of Sarah thy wife in all that she saith unto thee." And we find, too, in the time of Josiah, there was a very sad state of things in Israel, but there was a woman there whose name was Huldah, and she gave very, very good advice, and Josiah acted upon that advice, and there was a great revival, one of the best revivals that took place in the history of the kings, and it was her influence. And so I speak to those who are sisters. It shows the influence that they can have and how the heart can be stirred up even by something they say. Sometimes people say, "Well, you don't give any place to the sisters," but there's a wonderful place given to them in the Scripture. We see it in the New Testament, too, and such well-known names as Mary of Bethany and Mary Magdalene and Priscilla, how we find an important place given to them. But listen to their message. Listen to how it begins. "God is our refuge and strength." Are we going to lean upon an arm of flesh? We will be disappointed. But isn't this beautiful? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And I suppose there's hardly anyone here that isn't having some kind of trouble. Sometimes there are troubles in our business, sometimes troubles in the family, sometimes health problems, sometimes difficulties in the assembly. God is our refuge and strength. What a wonderful message this is, brethren. Does this sound like a note of discouragement? I would say this is a note of encouragement. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Not just tomorrow. Tomorrow may bring fresh cares and fresh difficulties, but a very present help. Right now, we can turn to the Lord and find in Him the help and the strength and the grace that we need, a very present. Oh, you say, but things are pretty bad. There's a lot of difficulties that, and they're very real, yes. "Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof." Not a very bright picture, is it? Everything seems to be wrong here. It seems that everything that seemed reliable, mountains, the sources of refreshment, the waters thereof roar and be troubled. Everything seems to be in a state of disturbance, but God is our refuge and strength. And then the fourth verse, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Yes, there is a river, and that river, as we sometimes sing, the river of thy grace through righteousness supplied, is flowing o'er the barren place where Jesus died. Every one of us in this room who know the Lord as our Savior know something of that river of grace. We were once sinners in our sins, far from God by nature and by practice, but oh, how wonderfully near we have been brought. Brethren, we couldn't be any nearer. God couldn't have blessed us more fully than he has. I believe that's the force of that expression in the third chapter of Ephesians. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We often apply this to circumstances in our lives, and that rightly we can apply it that way. But I believe it even goes beyond that too. If God were to come to any one of us and say, I'd like to bless you, would you tell me what you'd like me to do for you because I want to bless you? Would we ever say we wanted to be made an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ? Would we ever say we'd like to be part of the bride of Christ to share the glory of that coming scene in association with him as part of his glorious bride? Would we ever think of such a thing? No. But he's not only planned it, but he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And the power is already working within us because, as we had in the meeting this morning, every true believer is indwelled by the Spirit of God. The very, shall I say, one of the persons of the Trinity indwells us. We have Christ himself as our life. What a marvelous place we have been brought into. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place, the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. You know, God has his own time. And Scripture says that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, as a thousand years as one day. Then there's a verse, I think it's the 90th Psalm. It says that a thousand years is like a watch in the night. I understand that a watch in the night might be 3, possibly 4 hours, but no more. And it says, one day is with the Lord. A thousand years is with the Lord as a watch in the night. So you see that time is really nothing to God. It does hang heavy on our hands sometimes. And we say, how long? When is this going to happen? Why do things remain in this condition and nothing seems to happen? But time is nothing to God. And so the singer here could say, God shall help her, and that right early. And then there is a little view of how God is going to act. It says in the 6th verse, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The Lord of hosts... When we think of this expression, hosts, we always think of a large number, don't we? Well, it's true that the Lord said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Doesn't sound much like a host, does it? But when we think of who this glorious person is, why, as some of them said to David, thou art worth 1,000 of us. And so, you know, the Lord Jesus in the midst, why, it makes a great company, doesn't it, when we think of who he is. And so it tells us here, the Lord of hosts is with us. I always love that expression. Turn back to the 22nd Psalm, the 23rd Psalm. No, it's the 24th that I referred to. Psalm 24. I just like to notice the last verses of this psalm. Verse 7, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? Notice the answer is different in the 10th verse than in the 8th. It says here in the 8th, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. But when the question is asked in the 10th verse, the answer is the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Doesn't that bring a beautiful thought before us? When the Lord Jesus had accomplished that glorious work of Calvary, he went up and took his place at the right hand of God. He's there, a glorified man. But if I might say it, he's there alone. He's accomplished the work, and there he is now, seated at the right hand of the glorious majesty on high. But he's going to come again, brethren. He's entered heaven once as the victorious victor over sin and Satan. But he's going to come and he's going to enter heaven again, but not alone. Not alone. He's going to have a vast host with him. And you and I are going to be among those. You and I are going to be in that host, the Lord of hosts. What a blessed picture we have here for the 22nd Psalm, as we all know, gives us that glorious work that he accomplished on Calvary. The mighty victor, the Lord mighty in battle, he's entered there. And he's there for us now as our great high priest and our advocate. But he's going to enter again, the Lord of hosts. And so I think this expression is very precious here. The Lord of hosts is with us. We may think, well, there's just a few that are gathered to his precious name. But we're going to find when he gives us a shout, there's going to be far, far more than we know that belong to him, that are going to form that glorious company that will surround him and give him his rightful place. The Lord of hosts is with us. Did we deserve it? The God of Abram? No. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Aren't we conscious of what poor failing things we are at best? Oh, how we feel it. And would to God we felt it even more, our own nothingness and weakness and all that we are. But isn't this precious? The God of Jacob is our refuge. Yes, we count upon him because, not because we deserve it, because he is the God of Jacob, the God of grace. Then again, you see the awful judgment that's going to come upon this world in the 8th verse. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He's going to deal with things. He's not going to allow evil to go on unjudged forever. He's going to set things right. Then he maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. Isn't it blessed to know, brethren, that we're heading on for that time when the conflict will all be over? When we won't anymore have that conflict, we'll enter that scene, the rest of God, our rest to come, our place of liberty. That's what's ahead of us. That's what we're waiting for. And so it says here, in the 10th verse, be still and know that I am God. Isn't it so? We find it very hard to be still. I think that's one of the hardest things for most of us when things aren't going the way we'd like them to go, just to be still and say, well, I'm trusting in the Lord. I'll leave the matter with him. I'll just wait for him in his time. He'll set everything right. Of course, if there's anything in our own lives that needs to be judged, we should judge it, because anything allowed in our lives is not pleasing to him is going to hinder communion with him. We can't enjoy his presence with something allowed unconfessed in our lives. But if we have been seeking to walk before him and own before him failure and acknowledge that we have often failed and do fail, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's there as our great high priest to supply grace to help. He's there as our advocate to restore us when we have failed. But when we have learned that, then isn't this precious? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Now we see this time we're living in is called man's day. And more we see man exalting himself. things are going to head more and more in that direction. We know that the climality, the final of sin, is when a man sits in the temple of God showing himself that he is God. Things are heading to that time. The true God is being shut out, and man is exalting himself and making much of himself. But we just have to be still and know that the time is coming when he will be exalted. He will be exalted in the earth. But then this psalm closes with those words, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." They're mentioned in the 7th verse. They're repeated in the 11th verse. And we need them. So I want to encourage the sisters. You may say, well, an audible part is not given to me. No, but that doesn't say it isn't an important part that is given to you. This beautiful psalm that's sung, perhaps, and very likely by the women singers in the temple, is one of the most moving psalms in the whole 150. And we see here the influence that it could have. And so I think we go through these, these things that are brought before us in these psalms. You were just take time to read the 45th psalm, you'd see a terrible bowed down state of things. Notice the 13th verse of the 44th chapter. "Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and derision to them that are about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people." And then in the 45th psalm, without any change of circumstances, he says, "My heart is inditing a good matter." No longer thinking of all those things that might depress and make sad, but he's thinking of the future. The Bible says, where no vision is, the people perish. And if you and I lose sight of what's ahead of us, we're going to, or as I think Mr. Darby translates it, where no vision is, the people cast off restraint. You say, what's the use? Everything's so dark, everything's in ruins. No, brethren, we can look up. We have a vision of coming glory. A scene so glorious, so wonderful, more than we could ask or think, is ahead of us. And then we come back to present circumstances. We come back to the time when everything seems to be shaken, the earth's removed, the mountains are cast into the midst of the sea, everything seems to be. But what is the answer? The God of Jacob is our refuge. We can trust in him. We can count upon him. We can say to our troubled souls, be still. Know that God is in control. We can look on to that time when everything's going to be set right. So may I encourage each one. We who are brothers, we can seek to go on in that path God has marked out for us. God has given to the brothers an audible responsibility. He says, "Let me hear thy voice. Let me see thy face." He's given to each brother a audible responsibility, but to the sisters, perhaps, a place not so public, but tremendously influential. And may God grant that each one of us, brothers and sisters, may be stirred to give the Lord Jesus his rightful place, and that we might be kept in these days of breakdown and ruin, counting upon God, finding our joy and happiness in him, and seeking to be a blessing and help to his people.